Welcome back. I'm Dr. Catherine Messagie, founder of Geode Blockchain, also known as Guru Catherine, guide for your personal journey and the wild world of technology that we live in. And what I want to talk about today is the factors that influence a blockchain. The founders, the operating companies, the foundations, and the whales, and how these factors come together to decide when the code gets changed, how the code gets changed, who is changing the code, and what's happening, the stability and the future of any given blockchain. Now, the overwhelming majority of blockchains out there today are proof of stake chains. These are not like Bitcoin. Ethereum is now proof of stake. They didn't used to be. They changed over. Yes, you can do that. Proof of stake is where you have an actual community where people are staking their coin on validators to secure the system. And that stake also can become your voting power. And in the large majority of chains, that's what it is. So your stake, how much coin you have, is the same as your voting power. So I want to talk about that and how that matters and some pretty surprising facts you may not have known about the locations and influences on some of these chains. So why are we talking about this now? Let's start there. So this is a subject that is coming up in the U.S., as the U.S. is finally pro-crypto, and we have a lot of discussion happening in Congress and in the SEC and in the Treasury and in Commerce about, well, if you want to build on a blockchain, how do you know which blockchain you can trust? Well, how do you know if a blockchain is secure? And things like code audits really help with that. But also, who is influencing this chain? Who has access to the code, even if it's open source? Who's actually changing the code? Who decides when the code gets changed? How does this work? So let's talk about that. So the four big factors that have the influence on the stability, capability, and future and security of any chain are the founders, the operating companies, the foundations, and we're going to talk about what all these are, and the whales. The founders, okay, this is obvious. These are the people who in the beginning actually started the chain, actually decided, let's get together and make a chain. Whether that's a layer one chain or layer two, layer three, and we won't worry about layers today. We'll talk about that another time. But any chain, the founders are the ones who got it going. Now, the founders are always an influence, not just because they are also whales, that is, they hold large amounts of coin, which is their reward for doing massive amounts of work up front, but they also hold socio-political influence over the chain, even into the years when maybe they don't hold so much coin. You know, we've seen, for example, in Ethereum, such an interesting example, Vitalik Buterin has, you know, less coin than you would think he would at this point, but he still holds immense socio-political influence over the future of the chain. So the founders, obviously, big influence. The founders are the first ones with their hands in the code, right? They create the foundational stability and capability of that chain. So that's why you want to take a look at the founders. Now, from a government's perspective, although a blockchain is in the public commons, a blockchain is not necessarily belonging to one country or another, but it can be heavily influenced by one country or another based on where the founders were living at the time and the culture that they come from. So when your founders, for example, we're living in the U.S. and continue to live in the U.S., they're going to be heavily influenced by that culture, and you're going to see a lot of elements of American culture come through in the chain in terms of security, stability, independent action, all these kinds of things. And similarly, other cultures will influence their founders as well. Why? How we grow up alters how we think. And the society we live in influences how we think and the kinds of things that we put into these chains. So founders, very important. The next thing I want to talk about, I actually want to go to the operating companies and the foundations next. What are these? Why do they matter? Every chain out there will have not one entity that governs it or decides what's going to happen or takes action for it. Blockchains are decentralized, but people need leadership. Somebody's got to be updating the code. Somebody's got to be building. Somebody's got to be improving all the time. Somebody's got to be getting the word out. People have to do work to create and maintain these chains. And so the standard that exists across blockchains is to have an operating company that actually is doing the code work and a foundation that is getting the word out and is governing, right? Your governance tends to come out of your foundation. When your chain has a council, which many do, the council tends to be coming out of the foundation. These are people who are heavily involved, often as volunteers, but they're heavily involved. So the foundation is a nonprofit that is getting the word out and is deciding when changes need to happen. They're taking input from the community, they're running the council, and they're deciding when the changes need to be happened. Need to happen and when the changes need to be made, if there's going to be a fork to do that, whatever your process is. The operating company are the people who are actually making the code changes. Now, this is a little bit simplified. Not every chain is going to work it exactly this way, but this is going to cover about 90% of all the chains out there. So the foundation is your governance and ultimately the influence and decision making on what changes will be made to the code and when. And the operating company are the people who are actually making the changes and implementing them. For some chains, like Ethereum and others, making a code change to the chain code is actually quite arduous. For chains like Geode and others built on Substrate, it's very easy as soon as the community votes on it. So people have to be actually moving that ball down the field. So you have the foundation and the operating company. So then it begs the question of who are these foundation and operating companies? And there can be more than one foundation because it's decentralized, and there can be more than one operating company. But you want to know who are the foundations, where are they incorporated, and therefore whose influence are they under, and who are the operating companies, where are they incorporated, whose influence are they under. You want to know these things, not just from an investment perspective, but from if you're a government and you're thinking about building on a chain, this is part of your due diligence process. If you're building on any chain, you need to be aware. So, and foundations and operating companies can also be added and subtracted as time goes on. It's not that fluid, but for example, Ethereum existed for years and years and years, and only recently a second foundation was added due to a political infighting and schism in that chain. So there was a group that broke off from the original foundation and formed a second foundation to try to take things in the direction that they preferred. And then there are also, you know, operating companies as well. And there may be more than one of each, right? So this gets really interesting. You know, I mean, gone are the days of Web 2 when, you know, Facebook is one company. You only got to keep track of one entity, one CEO, one founder. In the blockchain world, it's so much more dispersed. So you need to keep track of who are the founders, who are the operating companies, and who are the foundations. Where are they? And who's running them? And then we get to the whales. The whales are the people who have lots of coin. And yes, I know there's whales and there's dolphins and you get all down to the little guppies. But yes, why the fish terminology? That's the culture of crypto. So your whales are the people who have the largest amounts of coin in the entire ecosystem. So you have Geode has whales, Ethereum has whales, Polkadot has whales, everybody's got whales. So you want to know who these people are. Why? Because the large majority of these systems are proof of stake, and your coin is your voting power. Now, in some systems, most systems actually, if you're not built on Substrate, your voting power and your coin is one-to-one. One coin, one vote. So if you've got lots of coin, you have lots of voting power, and your vote as a whale will outweigh lots of other people. So that's why the whales have such a huge influence on the system. Now, in Geode and other systems built on Substrate, you have what's called conviction voting, where somebody who has less coin but feels very strongly about this vote can lock up their coin. They can choose. They can say, I will lock up my coin to 6x my vote, to multiply my vote by 6 times by locking it up. So people who have less coin can actually outvote the whales quite easily. Now, that being said, the whales still hold a lot of influence. It's not everything. They can be outvoted in Geode anyway, but it's still a lot of influence. So you want to know who the whales are. Well, these are the people who hold the most coin. Now, most blockchains maintain what's called a rich list, which is the top 20 accounts that have the most coin. But that doesn't necessarily tell you everything you want to know. It's not really like top 20. I think a more modern definition of this, and we see this in the current draft discussion bill of the digital asset market structure bill, which is just out for discussion right now in Congress as of this recording. They look at it as who has more than 1% and who has more than 19%. So who has 20% or more, right? Who has 1% or more and who has 20% or more. And these are kind of two different levels. And I think, you know, percent ownership is something to take a look at too. And so you can get a lot of influence from whales. So, and you want to be, this is a really wild topic. So I want to get into this because obviously there, you know, there was the big hack, earlier this year that put North Korea in a position to be the second largest holder of Ethereum, but the largest voting party. So let me explain this. So if you weren't around for this one, there was a large exchange hack, and North Korea made off with $1.5 billion worth of Ethereum. So $1.5 billion worth of Ethereum, and I'll just use the Ethereum price as of this point today, $2,580 per coin. Check my math means that North Korea is currently holding a little bit over 581,000 coin. 581,000 Ethereum coin. So North Korea has 581,000 Ethereum. The largest holder of Ethereum is a smart contract that currently holds 30%. But smart contracts can't vote. Check me on this. If I'm wrong, if that particular smart contract on Ethereum actually has voting power, y'all let me know. But in our system, in Geode anyway, and in most chains, smart contracts themselves don't vote. They don't go into the voting system and cast vote based on the coin they have. Only regular account holders vote, which makes North Korea the single largest voting authority in the Ethereum system. Next one down is, so North Korea has 580,000. Next one down is 250,000 Ethereum. But that's Rain Lomas, but he has lost access to to his wallet. He doesn't have his password anymore, so he can't vote. So that's also non-voting Ethereum. Next one down is Vitalik Buterin at 245 Ethereum. And so that is the next. Vitalik has less than, far less than half of what North Korea has. So that's where his opinion and vote come in terms of influence on the Ethereum system. It's not his fault that North Korea ended up with that much ETH. But there we are. So we need to understand how North Korea may choose to bring that influence to bear on the Ethereum system going forward, now that they are the largest voting holder by twice as much. And I don't think Ethereum has conviction voting. So there's not an option for anybody to outvote them should they want to. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong on that. So you do have a lot of other major voting parties that could come together to make sure that they outvote North Korea. But what an awful situation to have to be in, to have to be paying attention to. So you want to be aware of who your whales are. And it's worse than just, oh, North Korean nationals. No, the North Korean government itself. Oh, it's 581,000 ETH. Sucks. So, but that's where we are. That's where we're at. So you want to understand who has the coin and therefore who has the voting influence. And so let's go back to the operating companies and the foundations. The operating companies and the foundations often are whales as well themselves and have voting power and may or may not choose to exercise that. But you want to know where they are incorporated. And this is where it gets interesting. Now, for years, it's not going to shock you that there are only six layer one blockchains fully in the U.S. That shouldn't shock you, because for years, people were just terrified to build here. Of course they were. It was a terrible environment. People told us when we first started Geode, at this point more than 3 years ago, they're like, oh my God, no. Okay, no. Get out of the U.S. You need to physically move and leave the country if you're going to be safe to build. That's how scared people were. They were telling us, don't incorporate anything in the U.S. Oh my God, don't physically build in the U.S. You need to move, go to, you know, the Caymans, go to Panama, like anywhere. But we stuck it out. So you may find this kind of interesting, because there are a lot of chains that people think are American chains that are not. So let's take a look at this. So first, let's start off with the six layer one chains that actually are fully U.S. based. That means their founders live here, their operating companies are incorporated in the U.S., and their foundations are incorporated in the U.S. And that's what it takes in my book to get counted as a fully U.S. based chain. And so that's Geode, the only one in the great state of Florida, I might add. Shout out Florida, go Gators. Hedera. Hedera is for all these chains, all the founders live in the U.S. Geode is the only one in Florida. Hedera, you're mostly out of Texas, with two foundations, one in Texas and one in Georgia, and an operating company out of Delaware. Ripple, everybody loves them. Go XRP, fight the good fight for years and finally winning. They are out of California. There's where their founders are based out of California, and their operating company is out of Delaware. They do not have a foundation. That chain is much more centralized. Stellar. Founder out of California. No operating company. I don't believe that. I don't trust the data there. And foundation out of Delaware. Aptos, founder out of California. Operating company out of Delaware. No foundation. And Quai Network, Q-U-A-I. Founders out of Texas. Operating company out of Texas. And foundation out of Delaware. So those are the six: Geode, Hedera, Ripple, Stellar, Aptos, and Quai, who had the guts to build in the United States completely. So great. Love you guys. And so then a lot of people think, oh, Solana is American. Cardano is American. Avalanche is American. Cosmo. No, no, they're not. Some aspects of them are based in the U.S., but they are what I would call either partially foreign or foreign influenced. So, for example, Solana, the founders out in living in California, but the and the operating company is Delaware, but the foundation is Switzerland. So they get kicked out for that. That's a partially, you know, foreign influenced chain. Still love those guys. Solana is awesome. Cardano, another awesome chain, founder out of Colorado and Wyoming. Where are you running around these days, Chris? Charles Hoskinson, apologies. So American founder, but the foundation is in Switzerland, and there are two operating companies, one out of Japan and one out of Hong Kong. Avalanche founder lives in New York, operating companies out of Singapore. Cosmos founders out of California, but the foundation's out of Switzerland, and it goes on and on. And so we did an entire study of which chains are based where, and it was absolutely fascinating. And this was a focus just on the layer one chains. So for layer twos and layer threes, we'll have to do another analysis for that one. But this is why it matters. So your founders, your operating companies, and there may be more than one, and your foundations, and there may be more than one, where are they incorporated? Where are they based? So not only is this the influence that's coming in the chain in terms of when code changes are going to be made, how those code changes are going to be made, what code changes, who's got their hands on the code, that's the foundation and the operating companies. But then you've also got where the economic flow of wealth is going, right? So there's an economic aspect here and there's a security aspect here to understanding where these chains are based. So we might use language like, you know, Geode or Hedera or Ripple are US blockchains. And that's just a simple way to say every major aspect of their influence, the founders, the operating companies, and the foundations are based in the United States. Chains belong to the commons, especially public chains like Geode and others. Some, like Ripple, are a little bit more centralized. Some are more, like Geode, are more decentralized. They belong to the world. But where are they based? And this influence tells you something about layer of security and economic influence as well. So there you go. If you want to see the entire analysis, we can really nerd out on that. We analyzed about 45, 46 chains, a couple of which are layer twos, but get mistaken for layer ones a lot. It's fascinating stuff. You want me to do a video nerding out on that more, I'll be happy to show you that and can link that up for you. But that's what is really important to know. So if you have more questions about that, let me know. So the last sort of aspect I want to address is the thing that's been, I think, the most shocking to people in the state of Florida and in the U.S. government and Florida government is that Geode is the only layer one chain, what I would call mature layer one chain, fully based in the great state of Florida. And the response I get to that all the time is like, what? No, come on. That can't be right. What about all that crypto stuff going on in Miami? Right? Miami is a huge, huge crypto hub. Yes. But what they're doing there are not building layer one chains. They may be putting out meme coins. They may be putting out apps. They may be building apps on other chains. They may be building layer twos and threes. But when it comes to layer ones, that's just not... that's not what they've been putting out from Miami. And I'd have to go and dig a little deeper into kind of what's been going on and, you know, where the focus is. And there could be also a lot more hedge fund and speculation activity out of Miami rather than building infrastructure. They just have not chosen to focus on that. So Florida has this massive potential. Florida has this massive potential to be a leader in blockchain and crypto, but we're going to have to do better on a number of things. And so the current administration would like to see the United States be a leader in crypto and blockchain and other emerging technologies. And I totally agree with that. I want to see that too. I want to see Florida be amazing at this because I think we have the weather for it. We have the infrastructure for it. We have the talent for it. And there's no reason why we can't. And so I'll do another video later on how do we get from here to there? How do we promote innovation while protecting investors? How do we create freedom to innovate while keeping scams and the ugly bit at bay? This can be done. We just have to choose to do it. As with any new emerging technology, it's going to have its wild days, and I think we're coming out of those. But upcoming legislation and regulation, I think, is going to bring the best of both worlds out. Consumer protections on the one hand and unleashing innovation on the other. It can be done. So let me know what questions you have about this. This is one of my absolutely favorite topics right now, and I'm so excited to see where the United States and the state of Florida goes with this over the coming years. And we'll talk more about how to actually increase innovation in this area while keeping scams down. How do you spot the scams? How do you do due diligence on a project to know if it's any good or not? And all of these topics. Let me know what questions you want me to ask, and I'll make sure that I address them in the future. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you on Chain.